News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Welcome to Let's Go Pensacola. I'm your host, Julio Diaz. Hope you're having a beautiful Saturday. Hope we can make your Saturday even a little bit better by bringing you up to date on everything that's happening in entertainment and pop culture. Catching up with you after we've gotten through Pensacon. We'll talk a little bit more about that a little later in the show, too. First of all, joining me to do so, as he does so very often on the show, please welcome from the Pop Culture Analyst channel on YouTube, Jeremy Branch.
Hey, buddy. You've had a morning.
Yeah. I'm going to start with something that's not pop culture, but maybe everybody could use a nice reminder of, and that is cybersecurity.
Hey, before you get into that, I want to give a quick two shout-outs, and then we'll jump right back into that. Is that cool?
Yeah, absolutely.
First of all, I want to thank a listener that I had the pleasure of meeting at the Pensacon Short Film Festival, and Julio, we get excited every time we get a chance to hear from listeners. It doesn't happen super often, so it's always something we like to kind of talk about and discuss. So I wanted to give a shout-out to Janet, who I met over the weekend. And I also wanted to bring up Chris Wilkes. I don't know why, Julio. I don't know why, but he woke up yesterday choosing violence, and he said he would beat you at a movie debate.
That's not exactly what he said. He said that
that's the way I choose to perceive it.
He said that he and I would beat anybody that came up against us.
Yeah, I guess he did say that.
So
I was trying to just gain an ally here and get you on my side.
I think in fairness, you and I could beat just about anybody that came up against us too.
Yeah. So yeah, I think that's fair.
I think what I'm saying here is that I carry the team. No, I'm not. I am not saying that at all. I am not saying that at all. I'm not saying that at all. Both you and Chris and a couple other people I could name too. Certainly our friend Mike Ensley and folks like Steve Wise. So some people we know here in the community. I'm sure that they have areas of knowledge within the vast spectrum of movies that I don't have, and I may have some that they don't have. You know,
absolutely.
So yeah, I mean, it's all relative, but yeah, you know, you're right. Chris was in brag mode yesterday for some reason, not sure why. But more importantly than that, I want to say thank you to Janet for listening, and thank you to everybody else that listens. You know, neither Jeremy or I bite unless you pay extra. So you know, please, you know, if you ever do run into us somewhere at Pensacon or somewhere else, we'd love to hear from you.
Give us $5 and we'll bite you.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, if you're that cheap, okay, but, you know, that's your personal choice there, Jeremy, not mine.
All right.
I think it's great, great to hear, and Jeremy mentioned that Janet had maybe taken some recommendations from us, so that's nice. I hope that you've enjoyed anything that you've checked out on our recommendation, and, you know, I'm sorry I didn't get a chance to meet you, too.
Yeah, she was great. She was great. But now that we've gotten all that positive banter out of the way, talk to me about cybersecurity. That sounds fun.
Yeah, so long story short, someone tried to steal my paycheck.
Well, yeah. I think tried is kind of putting it lightly.
Well, they tried is still accurate because they did not succeed in cashing it. So, but yeah, somebody, what it appears, and I'm not 100% sure on this, but it appears that someone was able to gain access to my email and email, payroll administrator for my company that I work for. One of the companies I work for, in fairness, I have more than one job, and, get my, direct deposit information changed to their personal information. Now, luckily, the way that this works is it doesn't automatically just go through and they issue a paper check, but they tried to get like a copy of a paper check sent to them for direct deposit. And, thankfully it was caught before they cashed the check. So that's why I'm saying tried to, they did not get away with it, but yeah, it's caused me a little bit of inconvenience this morning. I'm not too happy about it. So, you know, reminder to change your passwords regularly and keep a close eye on your email. If you get a get a suspicious text, you know, look into it. I did get a suspicious text that the information had been changed, but I assumed it was somebody trying to get my information out of me and didn't respond to it and didn't look into it. So bad on me. But yeah, that's been the fun and frivolity that I've been dealing with this wonderful weekend.
So has anything like this ever happened to you before?
Not like this. No. I mean, has anybody ever tried to scam me? Sure. You know, I'm usually pretty good, but whoever this was pretty smart. Cause you know, I went in to check the email and I think the email account that it was attached to is one that I've had for a very, very long time and that I do use for personal business, but I don't necessarily check it every day because it's basically a few items of personal business that come in there and then spam.
I have one of those as well.
Yeah, I mean, I've had this account for, I'd wager 20 plus years. So.
And if you don't mind, what is that email address, password, and social security number?
Oh, well, it is, it is FU. And that's it.
AOL.com. There you go.
I've been, you know, changing passwords this morning and doing all that kind of stuff and trying to make sure I'm going to get paid, which, my employer is very good about. So thankful for that. I know my employer listens to the show on a regular basis, so I appreciate that. And,
shout out to them.
Yeah. So, you know, that's been a festival of fun and, something you definitely want to deal with. Nobody likes having their money messed with. You know what I mean?
No. It's like messing with their emotions.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it does mess with your emotions because you start freaking out about, you know, I got bills to pay. I don't know about you, but I'm not a guy that's got a ton of money in the bank to just relax and rest on my laurels on.
So, no, if it goes missing, I'm gonna definitely feel it. So I understand that. And you know, speaking of missing something and feeling it, we also probably need to mention that we lost one of the great stand-up comics, definitely a comics comic and somebody that's been a part of our lives on television probably for the better part of four decades, and that's Richard Lewis.
Yeah, I was sorry to see that. A great comedian, great actor, has been, you know, a lot of things up to and including Curb Your Enthusiasm, which...
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering if he recorded anything for the new season before, this final season that's getting ready to come up. But just a great loss. And it's been nice to see the outpouring of, you know, love and support for him over the last few days since he passed. I don't think it's a huge surprise. It's been known that he's been ill for a while.
Yeah.
But a tragic loss. And I want to mention too, there was another person that we lost during the PenceCon weekend last weekend. Not a name that's going to resonate with everybody, but definitely a name that resonates with me as a lifelong comic book fan. We lost the great comic artist Ramona Fraiden, one of the first and best female comic artists. One of the very few to break through as a woman in the golden and silver ages of comic books, was well into her 90s and had only just retired like a couple of months before. Like she was still doing commissions and, you know, the odd piece here and there. Just an incredible artist, probably best known for her work for DC Comics. She was the co-creator of the character Metamorpho, who we're going to see in the upcoming Superman movie from James Gunn. We'll talk a little bit more about that in a little bit. Also well known for her work on Aquaman and Super Friends, and just a brilliant, brilliant artist and a great woman. I did get to meet her once, and I do have an original Metamorpho piece from her that I was able to purchase from her that I'm very glad to own. But yeah, somebody that was truly a legend in the comics field, and we're losing so many of the there's hardly anybody left from that era at this point. And even into the Bronze Age, we're losing so many of the greats of the comic book industry. So was sad to hear that she had gone. Again, you can't really call it a surprise because, again, well into her 90s, but somebody whose work I'd always loved and very sorry to see her go. We do have to take a break. We're going to be back with more in just a moment. You're listening to Let's Go Pensacola right here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. ¶¶
key. Got skills, I'm a champion of D&D. MC Escher, that's my favorite MC. Keep your 40 out, just have an Earl Grey tea. My rims never spin, to the contrary, you'll find that they're quite stationary. All of my action figures are cherry. Stephen Hawking's in my library. My MySpace page is all totally pimped out. Got people begging for my top 8 spaces. Yo, I know pie to a thousand places. Ain't got no grills, but I still wear braces. I order all of my sandwiches with mayonnaise. I'm a whiz, a minesweeper, I can play for days. Once you see my sweet moves, you're gonna stay amazed. My fingers moving so fast, I set the place ablaze. There's no killer app I haven't run. At Pascal, well, I'm number one. Do vector calculus just for fun. I ain't got a gap, but I got a soldering gun. Happy Days is my favorite theme song. I can sure kick your butt in a game of ping pong. I'll ace any trivia quiz you bring on. I'm fluent in JavaScript as well as Klingon. Here's the part I sing on.
They see me roll on my Segway. I know in my heart they think I'm wide and nerdy.
Think I'm just too white and nerdy.
Think I'm just too white and nerdy.
Can't you see I'm white and nerdy?
Look at me, I'm white and nerdy. I like to roll with the gangsters. Although it's apparent I'm too white and nerdy.
Think I'm just too white and nerdy.
Think I'm just too white and nerdy.
I'm just too white and nerdy.
How'd I get so white and nerdy?
News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Welcome back to Let's Go Pensacola. I'm your host, Julio Diaz. We've got Jeremy Branch with us on the line from the Pop Culture Knowledge Channel on YouTube. And whether you're white or some other persuasion, if you were nerdy, you were at Pensacon last weekend. Even if you weren't nerdy, you were probably at Pensacon last weekend. You know, we had something like 30,000 people there over the course of the weekend enjoying all of the pop culture extravaganza that we had to offer. And we thought we'd spend a little time just kind of talking about some of the highlights that we experienced during the weekend here in Pensacola. So, Jeremy, you already mentioned one earlier. You got to meet a listener to this show, Janet. Thank you for listening. And you know, we're always excited to meet listeners. More, please.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
But hit me with some of the other things you're excited about.
So. Look, and I know this probably sounds politically motivated or like kissing up after the event, but I really mean this. The United Methodist Church and all of the volunteers that worked closely with us throughout the weekend, they were incredible. There was a woman named Candace, if I'm not mistaken, specifically that I feel like deserved a special just thank you for being incredibly accommodating through the weekend. So definitely shout out to them. I hope the relationship stays as good as it is now because they are just fantastic. So
I couldn't agree with you more there. I definitely hope the same. You know, it's been a very good relationship for both organizations. The folks at the church have just been so welcoming and they have so much great space and they're always willing to go the extra mile. Everybody over there has just been wonderful. And, you know, we plan to go back in there next year for sure. We're looking forward to it. We've already been discussing, you know, how we improve things from last year. So,
that's good to hear.
It's weird to say last year when it was last week, but for us, it's kind of already last year. You know, I'm still putting some dots on top of I's and some crosses across some T's, but for the most part, we're through 2024 and we're already looking at 2025.
Yeah, ticker's already reset. And that's cool that you said that because even speaking with the people there, they were like, well, next year maybe we could do this and it would make it a little better. And it's just so cool that they're enthusiastic like that. And primarily, as I've mentioned previously on the show, but if you've never listened, then I am the host of the Pensacon Short Film Festival, which was created by Steve Wise and graciously hosted by the folks at Pensacon ever since the second year, I believe. So it's been going on for 10 years. I've been hosting all but maybe the first one. Maybe this was my 10th year of it. It's hard to tell after so long, but it was awesome. It was awesome. We had about 5 filmmakers present throughout the weekend, cast members, directors, producers, different roles, and they were all super cool. It's a good feeling. You know, it's a good feeling to watch people watch their movies in front of an audience who's enthusiastic about it. And I absolutely love that. You watched all of the movies, as did I. No surprises that Goro Goro was the kind of best animated movie, but would you have thought it would have maybe picked up more awards than that? Is that a surprise to you?
The fact that it won the audience choice doesn't really surprise me because it really did feel like it could be a Pixar short.
Yeah.
It is very much a crowd-pleasing kind of thing. So the fact that it pleased the crowd does not really surprise me, that because it seemed like that kind of flick. I think we had a number of those kinds of flicks, and I think the one that won the jury prize, Blood Fury. Am I remembering that name right? Blood Fury?
Yeah, that's our Bloody Fury.
Yeah, I think that's one of those kinds of movies too. But when you win the jury prize, you're not eligible for any of the other prizes.
Just another awesome movie. And then I got to give a shout out to the movie Clemency and Stefanica, who was there present. It was also for the movie Goro Goro. It was a very nice girl by the name of Jillian. And we had the filmmaker for Ed's Auto there. His name was Jack McClellan. He was very cool. Good to meet him. And then one of the movies that played incredibly well, it was not a surprise to me, but it was a return guest. And what I was surprised is that it kind of ended up being, I guess, subjectively the crowd favorite, because it was a packed room on Saturday night for the horror screening. Adam Kirke's film, Greed and Gore, played, and it popped. Every visual gag and gore effects that was put on screen just had, like, maximum impact. So I was glad he came down from Canada to be a part of the convention, and just a really cool guy. So the film festival, it was popping. It was a good time all weekend long. I did also get to meet Mick Foley, who was the person I kind of set out to get an autograph and signature and talk to for an autograph and a signature. So yeah, both of those things I set out to get, and I accomplished it. But he was super cool. So those are some of the highlights for me, and I'll start up now.
I'm glad you were able to get both an autograph and a signature.
Yeah, it was pretty cool that he was able to do two different things that were actually exactly the same thing. Yeah,
most people only get one or the other, but you, Jeremy, you're special.
Yeah, special indeed. Special indeed. What were some of the standouts for you, man?
Well, you know, I spend a lot of time dealing with the celebrities during Pensacon, so I did get to, you know, pretty much say hello to probably three quarters of the guests at some point. You know, there's a few I missed here and there, but I miss most of them. The one I most regret missing was Rachel McFarlane, who is the voice of Haley on American Dad, and been in a bunch of other stuff. She's Seth MacFarlane's sister. I met her in Chattanooga last year, which is why I was disappointed that I didn't get a chance to talk to her at this show, because she's really, really nice. And I wanted to at least get a hello in, but every time I went past her table, she had a line. So that's good.
Imagine that.
I want her to stay busy, so that's great. But I didn't get to say hello, so that's unfortunate. And I even asked her agent to make sure that she knew that I'd said hello, because I felt bad about that, because I had talked to her specifically about being here when I met her in Chattanooga and that we were looking forward to having her and all that stuff. We had a few people like that.
Far be it for me to, like, tell you how to live your life, but you really need to throw that weight around, Julio. I know you've lost some weight over the last little while, but you're a heavy up there at Pensacon. You're, like, you're almost top dog, right? I mean, there's, like, three or four people up there on the payroll. You just need to shove your way up in the front of the line and be like, I'll be a minute.
Yeah, no, I'm not doing that, because that's not what it's about. The show is about the fans, and I would much rather have a fan have a great experience than me have a great experience. You know, that's what it's all about. That's why we do
Absolutely.
It. We do it to see the smiles on everybody's face and to just see that sense of community. And that is the thing that I really enjoy most about the show. You know, just seeing everybody having a good time and really coming together and loving each other and loving on the celebrities within reason.
Did you see any wild cosplay this year?
Weirdly enough, the one that I saw that I was super excited about is not one that would be like something everybody would be excited about. You may know that I am a huge fan of the Legion of Superheroes, which is
I've heard that before.
Relatively obscure group of DC Comics characters, teenagers with superpowers set in the far future, 1,000 years in the future. 11 years we've been doing this show. And other than, you know, Superboy and Supergirl were at times members of the Legion. So, yeah, I've seen Superboy and Supergirl cosplayers because, you know, those are pretty common cosplays.
Sure.
But other than that, at Pensacon, not at other shows, but at Pensacon, I have never seen another Legion of Superheroes cosplayer. And this year I saw somebody dressed as Dream Girl from the Legion of Superheroes. So I was very excited to see her.
Nice. And always cool to see somebody that gets one that's like not the super familiar one, right?
Yeah, yeah. Above and beyond that, yeah, weirdly, not as many like Harleys and Deadpools as usual.
Right? Yeah, I noticed that.
Usually there's like 9 million of each of those. And
yep.
I'm not, now that I think about it, I don't know that I saw a Harley Quinn all weekend. Actually, I don't know that I saw a Deadpool all weekend either.
That is very surprising because for 5 years, those were, and not that they're not great costumes and people are really able to express themselves in those costumes and have a good time. But yes, I would say most popular cosplays of the history of Pensacon.
Yeah, well, and I mean, not just Pensacon, but everywhere. You go to cons anywhere in the world and you're going to see, you know, an army. You know, I didn't see any, another one that tends to be a big one. I don't think I saw a Hutt Slayer Leia this year either.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I like that name for her. I've never heard her referred to that, but I get it. I get it, and I'm into it. What is Hutt Slayer Leia?
That's the famous bikini from the beginning of Return of the Jedi.
Yeah, got it.
I may or may not have an autographed photo of Carrie Fisher in that costume.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Sad.
Well, I didn't mean to railroad you. What else, man? Any other standout moments? Which celebrity showed out the worst? Do we got some dirt that we can spread about any of them?
You know, this year, not really. You know, there have been times that there have been, but I can't think of anybody this year that was not a pleasure to work with. You know, and I would say I wouldn't say who, but I would say that there was somebody if there was. But this year, I don't think there was. Everybody was very pleasant, very excited to meet their fans. I don't think we had any poor experiences. For me, you know, of course, Ron Perlman was a big one. Clint Howard, and I'm a massive Buffy the Vampire Slayer fan. So James Marsters and Charisma Carpenter were very, very high on my list. Both of them could not have been nicer people. So
good.
Yeah.
You know, I just have to do my part as a serious journalist to ask the probing questions, and I'm glad to hear everybody was on their best behavior. Would you say Marston was one of the biggest like crowd favorites of the weekend?
Yeah, I mean, James Marsters, Ron Perlman, Mark Shepard were definitely some of the big heavy hitters.
Sure.
We got to take a break. We'll be back with more in just a moment. You're listening to Let's Go Pensacola on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Welcome back to Let's Go Pensacola. I am your host, Julio Diaz. We've got Jeremy Branch with us online from the Pop Culture Knowledge Channel on YouTube. Got to hear that song live last year, which was amazing. The Cure with Burn. And there's a reason I'm playing that song. If you know that song, you probably know what that reason is. That song was, of course, done for the soundtrack to the film The Crow. Starring Brandon Lee, which came out, what year was that?
94, I believe.
Yeah, 94, I believe. And we are getting ready for a new Crow film. And I'm just going to let Jeremy run with us because I know Jeremy's got some pretty strong feelings about this.
Let me cook. So, I mean, even hearing that song just now, I get chills. I was 12 years old when The Crow came out. And It's impossible for me to objectively tell you if it's a good movie or a great movie or a mediocre movie. I cannot separate how significant of a moment it was in my life when I saw it from any sort of like objective criticism, right? So it was a time, as Julio said, 1994, when culture was in this really interesting spot, when what would seem to be the most fringe, the most alternative, the most subversive was actually the most commercially viable. And when I say that, you got like Nine Inch Nails, Marilyn Manson, these really almost shock rockers. I mean, in the case of Manson, absolutely a shock rocker, that were like top trending on the MTV, and you'd go into Spencer's and it was all goth rock band, Skinny Puppy, posters all over the walls. So
it was the height of the alternative music revolution.
Yes, post grunge and kind of maybe not post grunge. Maybe it was simultaneous. What do you think?
Kind of a little past grunge. I think post grunge is probably first. Well, I mean, let's look at it this way. This is I'm looking at the listing for the original soundtrack album. The soundtrack album, by the way, is an absolutely seminal album of the 90s. It is It is a hugely influential album. One, and I think that it has a lot to do with the mystique behind this movie, was the success of this soundtrack and how much it has meant to a lot of people. So here are the bands that are on that soundtrack. The Cure, Machines of Loving Grace, Stone Temple Pilots, Nine Inch Nails, Rage Against the Machine, Violent Femmes, Rollins Band, Helmet, Pantera, For Love Not Lisa, My Life with the Thrill Kill Cult, The Jesus and Mary Chain, Medicine, and Jane Siberry.
Yeah.
So,
and just all the way through, just phenomenal songs. That Violent Femmes song is one of my favorites, and that's a band that I really like. So I say all this to say, there was something about The Crow as far as the aesthetic and as far as the mystique. Like you just now mentioned, there's so much like surrounding it where it was this alchemy that all created this movie experience that was really, I don't think it's replicable. I don't think it's easy to be, yes, what you said. Sometimes those words, they just don't come out. And that's been my concern about this reboot that's been in production for a very long time, that we just now got some kind of promotional images of Bill Skarsgård, who is phenomenal, dressed as Eric Draven, the lead character of The Crow, which is based on James O'Barr's graphic novel of the same name. And we're going in a drastically different direction.
Well, before we go into that, let me backtrack a little bit here and address some of what you said. I think that, yeah, this movie in particular, the first Crow movie, and there have been other Crow movies. I think there was even a short-lived TV series.
I don't recall any of that.
Yeah. You're better off that way.
Yeah.
you're better off that way, trust me. This movie did have a very big impact on goth culture in particular.
Yeah.
You know, there is a lot of stuff that you see in goth culture now that you can probably trace directly to that. Now, you can then, in turn, trace that back to J. O. Barr's original comics, because they had that influence, too. I am probably one of the few people who can honestly say they had read the comics before they saw this movie.
Not me, yeah.
There are differences between the comics and this movie, but a lot of the aesthetic does come from the comics. All of that said, you were saying you can't be an honest judge of whether this is a good movie, a bad movie, a mediocre movie, whatever. I am a fan of this movie. I do think it gets placed on more of a pedestal than maybe it necessarily deserves to.
So like, I think it's you were a bit older, so I trust that. And what I have to kind of add that we hadn't mentioned, Brandon Lee died in the production of this film. It was also an era where young, impressionable youths were also very romanticized the death of the young celebrity. So that also kind of put it in a different echelon. Do you think that's fair?
I do. I think that's why this movie gets placed on a pedestal, is because of Brandon Lee's death. I think that if Brandon Lee had not died making this movie, I think weirdly, it probably wouldn't have been as big a hit. It wouldn't have been as influential, and it wouldn't be placed on this pedestal that a lot of people place it on. That's not to say it's not a good movie. I am a fan of this movie. I like this movie. I like it a hell of a lot better than anything else called The Crow that followed it.
Yeah.
You know, and I am unabashedly a fan of this film. I own it on Blu-ray. I'm not knocking it by any stretch of the imagination. But I do think it gets this outsized sense of importance placed on it because of the loss of Brandon Lee.
That, so I can't really speak to whether or not that is why I love the movie. When you bring up the links to goth culture, there's this really sweet, sentimental core of the movie that is very informed by, like, it's like this love that is greater than all of the darkness in the world. It's like the world and the way Detroit is portrayed is this really hellish cityscape. And then in the middle of that, there's Eric and Shelley, and they're pure and their love is pure. And I think somewhere along the way, it's been mistranslated to the fact that Eric was like some sort of bad boy rocker guy. And that's what's kind of troubling me about this new take on The Crow, where it seems like we're going more in the direction of a SoundCloud rapper or like the Joker from David Ayer's Suicide Squad.
See, and I don't necessarily get that from the picture. You know, a photo is a photo. You can interpret out of it what you want. I kind of get where people are making the Jared Leto Joker comparison, and that he's got a lot of tattoos and he's very gaunt and you know, some of that. But I mean, I do think some of that also adheres to the goth aesthetic and to the aesthetic of the original comic. So I don't necessarily have a problem with that. I am also seeing what I feel like is a little bit of Native American influence in there, which again, this does really relate back to Native American myth.
Yeah.
So I don't really have a problem with that. I'm very much in wait and see mode. And a lot of people on the internet are like, oh my God, the world's burning. We're all going to die. And I'm not at that point, you know?
No, not at all. I agree with you. I mean, there are so many times that we see a photo and there's this knee-jerk reaction. I mean, you look at Heath Ledger as the Joker, which is also interesting because the Joker was very clearly inspired and influenced by Brandon Lee's portrayal of Eric Draven Flash the Crow in the movie. And here we are now at this kind of snake eating its own tail kind of situation where it looks like the new Crow is being influenced by another version of the Joker. And maybe I'm just reading into this. I mean, I can't say for sure this is the situation, but I don't think that you can make a good informed decision by a promotional image. But I also think the purpose of a promotional image is to either get you excited or give you an idea about what the film is. And I just don't love the design. I love Bill Skarsgård. I just kind of wish he was wearing a shirt. And I kind of, I know a little bit more about the plot, but I don't want to get into spoilers. And I feel like they're kind of recontextualizing it to make him less of a, this kind of virtuous character that maybe I created in my head rather than what the real backstory was, because there's not a lot in the movie.
Well, see, I haven't gotten that out of anything I've read, but I have gotten that maybe Shelley is being recontextualized a little bit, being played by FKA Twigs in this movie, who I actually really love her too. But there's been some notation made about her dark past catching up with her. I don't think that necessarily invalidates anything about the character. But, you know, it remains to be seen. I'm still very much in a wait and see mode, but I'm also in the mode of there's only been one good Crow movie. If it's not good, I'm not going to be shocked.
Yeah. That's very fair.
We got to take a break. Back with more in just a moment. You're listening to Let's Go Pensacola on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Yeah.
News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Welcome back to Let's Go Pensacola. I am your host, Julio Diaz. We've got Jeremy Branch with us on the line from the Pop Culture Knowledge Channel on YouTube. You may know that song, but I bet you don't know it in that version. That is a band called The Click with Superman. Now, if you are familiar with that song, I am willing to bet that you are much more familiar with the version of it by REM.
I've never heard that.
Yeah, that the REM version, believe it or not, is a cover. The click version is the original version. So you can be the judge over whether you think that was an improvement or not. Personally, maybe it's because I'm more familiar with the REM version, but I kind of like the REM version better.
Yeah, I'm with you, buddy.
But, you know, that, again, that could just be years of being much more familiar with the REM version. But I think that it's just a little more driving and a little more melodic, and I'm here for it. I'm also here for the new Superman movie that we're going to get in 2025, which is why I play that song, because we're going to talk
don't
a little
you
bit
mean
about
Superman Legacy.
No, I don't mean Superman Legacy.
Wait, what?
So that is some of the news that we got this week, that the title on James Gunn's Superman movie that's set to come out in a little over a year, July 2025, the title has changed. They just began principal photography on the film on Thursday, February 29th. Coincidentally, James Gunn says this was not planned. February 29th is traditionally given as the birthday of Superman.
Is that right?
Yeah, that was the gimmick of that was always meant to be, well, that's why he seems so young, even though he's been around for so long, because he only has a birthday every 4 years.
Do we believe James Gunn that was a coincidence?
I do, because there's too much that goes into scheduling these things that they would have, you know, that all the stars would have aligned to try to do something that really doesn't really have that much meaning. You know, it's not like it was the date the first comic was published or something like that. It was just like an in-jokey thing in universe that his birthday was supposed to be February 29th.
That feels so James Gunn, though, and the fact
does.
That it's serendipitous is also, I mean, if it just worked out that way, that's pretty awesome, but
it does.
As you said, it went into production, so,
so
we got a cast photo.
Principal photography has begun. It started on Thursday, and so we're officially a couple of days into principal photography on this movie. And, you know, why haven't we gotten the first trailer yet, James?
Yeah, seriously.
I'm kidding.
What are you waiting for?
I'm kidding. I am completely kidding. But we did, get a little bit of a cast photo courtesy of one of the stars of the film, Nathan Fillion, who was playing the Guy Gardner version of Green Lantern in the film, took a selfie with the cast and with James Gunn and his fellow DC Studios co-head, Peter Safran, with as much of the cast as we know about at this point, most of which had already been announced. You know, we saw David Corenswet, who's of course playing Superman. We saw Nicholas Holt, who's playing Lex Luthor. We saw Rachel Brosnahan, who's playing Lois Lane. Nathan Fillion himself, as I mentioned, playing Guy Gardner. Number of other characters who've been introduced as the casting news has come along. The characters that are going to be playing characters like Metamorpho and Hawkgirl and Mr. Terrific. But we also got to see some characters that are going to be in this film that I don't know that we'd heard about before this photo came out, that are a little bit of an homage to the original Richard Donner film that came out in 78, I want to say it was.
One of my favorite movies.
That being, now is it, Jeremy, or are you just saying that? Because I thought you said...
I'm just saying that.
I thought you said maybe you haven't seen that movie.
I don't know if I've seen the original Superman, but it's one of my favorite movies.
I have very, very vivid memories of seeing that in the theater as a small child. And, of course, I've seen it several times since then. But I definitely remember going to the theater and seeing that. And the whole campaign that they did centered around You Will Believe a Man Can Fly had some of the most realistic flying effects that had ever been seen on screen up to that point. And just a mind-blowing movie. Richard Donner did an amazing job with that film. And I'm a big fan of Superman 2, both Donner's cut and the Richard Lester cut that was the original theatrical release.
Sure.
Two of the characters that are appearing in this film are indeed Otis and Eve Tessmacher, who, if I recall correctly, these were kind of Lex Luthor's hench people in the original Richard Donner film. If I'm recalling correctly, they were both created for the film. Now, they eventually did get used in the comics, and they got used in other aspects of various Superman projects. I think they showed up in some of the animated series. I know they both showed up in Supergirl, the recent Supergirl series that ran on the CW. But it's nice to see those characters thrown in there, even though they weren't maybe necessarily originally part of the comics, because it does pay tribute to the legacy that has been built up around this character, especially in this character on film. And it's funny we should mention the word legacy, because that's the other news that we got out of this. The film was for some time being called Superman Legacy, and that was the name on the first draft of the screenplay. But they have decided that they're changing the name of the film, and that this film will indeed just be called Superman.
So we haven't got to talk much about really any of this. It's been a little while since you and I have had a chance, just because the convention and everything else. First of all, what do you think about the just changing the name to Superman?
I'm here for it.
Second, what do you think about the main casting, like in particular Superman, Lois, and Lex?
I love the casting overall. I think we've got some really solid actors who could potentially carry this franchise for some time to come. I think Nicholas Holt's one of the best actors working right now.
And he's awesome.
I think seeing him as Lex Luthor is going to be fantastic. It's interesting because he apparently also tried out for Superman.
Yeah, so, I heard
and,
that.
And he is a guy that I could have seen playing either role. And I think that's kind of when they work best, as possibly being flip sides of the same coin. So
sure.
So I'm looking forward to seeing him in the role. Corin Sweat loved him in Pearl last year, or the year before. I think we're 2 years out from Pearl at this point.
He was the projectionist?
Yes.
Okay, then I have seen him in something. Okay, I liked him.
Yeah, I like him a lot. And then Rachel Brosnahan, of course, has won a lot of accolades for The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. And, again, just a phenomenal actress, has been in a number of things right now, and I think it could be a very strong Lois Lane. So if you're starting from that standpoint of three very strong actors in the key positions, I think everything else kind of falls into place. I like that we're tying this into the greater DC universe, that we're going to see other characters in this movie besides just Superman and Lex.
Yeah.
We are seeing actually some real expanded universe stuff in here, because there was also a character that I don't know had been confirmed as being in this movie before now either, the Engineer, who is a member of the Authority, showing up in this movie. And we know we're getting an Authority movie down the line as well. So, I'm here for it, man. I'm excited. I love everything James Gunn does. I hope we get to see everything he does, because another movie that he's involved with is out there in limbo right now, that being Coyote versus Acme. And maybe we talk a little bit that in just a moment. I'm glad that this isn't going to be just another origin story. I'm glad that Lex isn't the only villain in this, because let's be honest, Lex should always be a presence in the Superman movie, but we've seen a whole lot of Lex Luthor, and there's a whole lot of other Superman villains we haven't seen at all on the big screen. I'm here for it. I'm very excited. I do think this is going to be a new start for DC, and I'm really looking forward to it. How about you?
Yeah, and I'm not super familiar with the comic series, but I do think Rachel Brosnahan, just on paper and visually, seems like the perfect casting for Lois Lane. And I'm wondering, just kind of hyperbolically, if she is the highest paid actor in the movie. I mean, certainly her agent could have a strong case that she's the biggest star in the movie, so I'd be curious to just kind of get a peek at those contracts and see how much more Lois Lane is getting paid than Superman. But yeah, everything you said really it resonates with me. I think changing the title to Superman is probably the smart move, because the Zack Snyder movies were Man of Steel, so it's not like we've had a Superman title movie in a long time, so I don't know what function the word legacy really served. I think streamlining it was the smart thing to do from a marketing perspective.
Well, and I think it really does signify a fresh start, which is what DC needs.
Agreed.
You know, there's no doubt about that. I'm all for the first several projects coming out with no subtitles or anything like that under them. You know, just this is Superman. This is, whatever other, you know, I know whatever, what other projects have been announced. I think it maybe makes sense to subtitle the Batman movie because of the separate Matt Reeves Batman series.
Yep.
But other than that, you know, I think all of these, you know, I know Supergirl has a subtitle on it because they're tying it to a certain comic story. We'll see if that subtitle sticks to it when it comes out or if they just call it Supergirl. But yeah, I think this is exciting news. At the same time, you know, Warner Brothers can't do something good without doing something equally bad.
It's always been true, hasn't it?
So I mentioned the movie Coyote versus Acme, which James Gunn was a writer on and producer on, which is this completely done film that's involving Wile E. Coyote suing Acme for all the defective products he's bought from them over the years. This is yet another movie that they're trying to write off for tax purposes. And this is not a situation where anybody's saying that this movie is bad. In fact, everybody that's seeing this movie says it's fantastic. And yet we may never get to see it.
It makes no sense. I can't wrap my head around when you have a streaming service, why you just don't put it on the streaming service other than, like you said, I guess you make more money off writing off movies and dragging everybody through the work of producing a film just to ultimately shelve it. They did with the previous, was it Supergirl?
Batgirl.
Yeah, that's right. So it's wild. It's wild that they do that. I can't make any sense of it, but I would love to see the movie.
Yeah, I would too. We got to go. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next week. You're listening to Let's Go Pensacola on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.